This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's access media station, Plains FM, and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman, a show that helps you to reshape your modern life using wisdom from the past.
Welcome to the Modern Caveman, where Cuz and I are joined by Padma from Rangiora Yoga. Cuz, I'm excited for today's show.
Absolutely. I don't think we've had someone specializing in this subject for quite some time, so it'll be awesome just to hear a wee bit more about your practice and some of the different types of yoga, and also, more importantly, the benefits that yoga has for those that that practice this.
Absolutely. We're back with Seven again from Southern Spices, located near the Stockburn Roundabout, also will be found on Facebook at Southern Spices. Seven, what do we have today? Last time you gave us some real good delicacies. What are we looking at this week?
This week we have something something very famous in our menu, which is KFC. Hey, you guys don't laugh, you know. This, the full name of this dish is Kerala Fried Chicken, not the Kentucky.
Ah, let's see what this, if it has a comparable flavor, what's going on there.
And you've also got the onion bhaji.
Yeah, that's, again, you know, when you compare it to the other shops, you know, you can feel our bhajis are entirely different. They are quite light, and we slice the onion after the order. So, you know, you feel that much freshness in our onion bhaji, and that's always, you know, the guests appreciate that. And the bread parota, which goes very well with the fried chicken. This is what we call Kerala parota. In other words, it's known as lecha parata in northern part of India. Since all our menu is from southern India, all the dishes are entirely different in taste. It looks different, it tastes different, and you know, you feel after eating it much comfortable, because we are free from you know, the cream. So most of our dishes are gluten free, dairy free, vegan, which is naturally.
Wow.
So
yeah.
People enjoys that.
And very, very colourful, these onion bhajis as well. So it must be the turmeric or something like that, colouring in there. Or
we do have a basic, you know, the traditional mix of the onion bhaji. So we that makes it different from the other places.
Mm. Yeah. Have you tried that dip yet, Cuz? That is phenomenal.
Are you gluten free?
What sort of dip is this?
It may contain traces of gluten. It's a yogurt. Yogurt, homemade yogurt sauce.
Okay. Phenomenal. Very good. So we're going to have you back a few times because, you know, we get used to these sort of treats.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The more often you can bring them into us, the better. We need a little bit of a taster each week to keep us going.
I'd love to come and join you guys. Thank you.
So how can our listeners find you again on social media? Southern Spices on Facebook?
Yeah, we do have a Facebook page at Southern Spices, and we are located near to that Stockburn Roundabout, opposite to the Close City Council building. And we are there for more than 6 years now in Christchurch.
Well, it's beautiful food, but don't take our word for it. Go and check them out, and I'm confident you will not be disappointed. You'll be delighted.
Amazing food. We always look forward to going to see you. Thank you for coming to join us, Evan.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Padma, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
Yeah, we're very blessed to have you on here, and I'm looking forward to hear a little bit more about traditional yoga and the different types and everything that Pam is going to share with us today, Cuz.
Yeah, looking forward to it. So tell us how did you start? What's your beginning journey into this field?
It's a very strange story. It is about my asthma, my health condition that ultimately laid the path to yoga as a career.
Yeah.
And I was actually trying to do some exercise. Somehow I had this knowledge. If I exercise, then I will feel better with my asthma.
Mm-hmm.
This journey started 11 years ago, in the year 2010. I was going to a park, and where I met two my teachers who were doing yoga. And they helped me learning the basic postures. And after a month of regular practice, I found my cold or my sneezing, all the allergy symptoms are gone. Normally, I get 3 times attack in a month, and I'm hospitalized, nebulizations, injections, oxygen. So I undergo all this kind of, you know, treatment all my life. Mm-hmm. But when I started yoga, all my symptoms are gone, and I didn't get any attack for the whole month. Yeah. So that's when I thought it is hard, very hard, but it is something good that I am feeling healthy. Yeah. That's where I continued doing yoga for next 8 months. And then I got to know that they have this education. Mm-hmm. There's a university where they teach a diploma in yoga therapy. So I further took my yoga studies. My first ever, like, you know, academics in yoga was a diploma in yoga therapy. And that was 1 year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. And tell us a little bit more, because I know from the talk what qualifications you have, but share with our listeners your qualifications.
So basically, I'm English honors. That was my graduation. And then I did a master's in business administration. And during that time, my stress level was really high. Mm. And my asthma attack was also high. So I took a 2 years break in between after I've completed my MBA in the year 2008 till 2010. Mm. And, you know, you are looking for a dream job and you're anxious about the career, the future. And I think stress level, as I always say, it is all the, root cause of all the diseases are a kind of stress. Mm-hmm. So I experienced that stress in my asthma level. Mm. And then when I started yoga, even if mind level, nothing was changing, but I started the change in the body level. Mm. Because life was still the same. But then I kept on, you know, studying about yoga. I said, what is this yoga therapy even? How does it work? Mm-hmm. So then I got to know they have set up exercises for different diseases, like yoga for diabetes, yoga for hypertension, yoga for asthma, yoga for obesity, so on and so forth. So, yeah, I was more interested in yoga, the main term, yoga and stress management.
Mm. Wow.
So I got the root cause so that it can, I can address all other diseases.
Very interesting.
It's fantastic. I've often heard it saying that, a disease is simply the word broken into two, which is dis-ease, you know, which is what
very
you're talking
true.
About with the stress.
Uneasiness, yeah. Or that's how we call it, illness or dis. Mm. You are not at ease. So that's how the name is, disease.
Yeah.
So you are a doctor of yoga. You've got your PhD in yoga.
Yes, during my diploma, I had to go for a one-month course in yoga and neurophysiology kind of research program.
Yeah.
And that was another university, which was a yoga research university. Mm-hmm. This place is known as Bangalore, which is the southern part of India. Mm-hmm. And there I got to know more about yoga and how it works. And they have done a lot of researches, like, the paper we are saying. Mm-hmm. So they got a lot of people and they divided into the control group and the, intervention group where they give yoga and the group they didn't give yoga. And they checked the changes through different parameters. Like we can say basic parameters, their heart rate, their breath rate, and they give the questionnaires and they checked their, in some cases they took the cortisol level and all these kind of researches with many people and again and again and again. And that's how they are sure about that yoga actually works. So I did that research course and then I had to do a yoga teacher's training in the same university before I joined my doctorate in the year 2011, August. So I ended up doing a PhD. I finished my PhD in the year 2014.
Wow.
Yeah, I got my degree in 2015, January. So yes, that's how I wanted to know everything about yoga.
You know, it sounds like, when you've had such an early success, with practicing it, with overcoming your initial ailment, but found that it was more than just, the first asthma,
Yeah. So Then I got to know like the different, what is the meaning of yoga? It's not only going and exercising. It has different aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So the very root, the meaning of yoga is union, connection, connecting to yourself.
Yeah.
So where I find that when I was living a very sedentary lifestyle, I was not connected to myself.
Mm-hmm.
So that first word was kind of a striking, point. Oh, I have to be mindful what I'm doing.
Yep.
That's what I was missing in my life.
With sitting behind a desk, tapping away on a computer keyboard probably, and just kind of not really being able to be active in the way we're meant to be doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've talked about some of the different types of yoga. What types do you practice? What are some of the other types out there? What are the different ones kind of look like and mean?
Like throughout the world, there are different types of yoga. If I say the Sanskrit names, they call it Hatha yoga, where they discipline the body.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And some school emphasize on disciplining mind. Through the body, they discipline mind. And some focus on perfection. They should do everything perfect. And some through knowledges and some through esoteric practices like Tantra yoga. The school I was trained in believes in well-being, like it is psychological and physiological well-being, bringing the harmony or the keeping the homeostasis in the body.
Mm.
So that school of yoga is known as Patanjali yoga or Ashtanga yoga, which has 8 limbs of yoga.
Okay.
So if we discuss the Ashtanga yoga, the first one comes the discipline or the, you know, the social code of conduct to live in a society at large, how our attributes to be. So we should be truthful, we should be nonviolent, these kind of things. That is the first step of yoga. And the second step is like to be clean, the purity part. So it starts with the mind, the discipline, self-discipline. And then the third part, which is, commonly known as yoga, is the stretch. That comes under the third asana part, which is the physical postures.
Yeah.
And there are other aspects which ultimately goes to, the happiness, the peaceful in the mind, and kind of creating the peace with yourself, not struggling from within, and finding the happiness ultimately.
And those next steps, as I'm looking at kind of the limbs of yoga here that you're talking about, are around your breathing. The next two are in the knees.
So normally we are breathing every day, in and out. We are breathing in and out, and we don't even know how fast, how slow we are breathing. We take it for granted. But breathing technique when we do postures are supposed to be synchronized. For example, when we raise our arms up to stretch, we should inhale. So, and when we drop down or we relax, we should exhale.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how the breathing pattern should be. But then when we call it pranayama is the special technique where voluntarily we control the span of breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And especially it focuses on the exhalation, the length of exhalation. And there are something called 3 ways of holding your breath, how long you can hold your breath. First one is antarkumbhaka. We inhale and we hold, we retain the breath inside. And second one is called Bahirkumbhaka, which we exhale and hold. Are you trying to hold your breath?
I'm trying to hold them.
And that the whole, the aim of pranayama is doing Kevala Kumbhaka. Like holding the breath should be like normal. Like you should not put any effort towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Like when it's like, imagine we are inhaling and exhaling, that pause, how long you can stay in that pause. Because they say as long as the breath moves, our mind moves. So we cannot control our mind. Mm. The whole aim of yoga is to bring the mastery over mind, understanding how mind behaves and how to not control, but gaining mastery. It thinks what we need to think. So it should not have its own mind to carry on.
So is that around being mindful and aware of that? So it's not, because at the moment, like you're saying, we're breathing without thinking about it, and you know, it's just how we are. You know, we can breathe without consciously, I'll breathe in now, I'll breathe out now. You know, we're not even thinking about it.
Become chest breathers, actually. Yeah. It should be diaphragmatic breathing, so deep breath. If we just, you know, we are in a radio, I mean, if you just place your hands on the chest and you take a deep breath, you should feel your abdominal muscles bulges up. A lot of people do not know how to breathe. They breathe wrong. Mm. So when they breathe in, their abdomen goes in, sinks in instead of bulging up. Mm-hmm. So when we breathe in, abdominal muscles should bulges up. And when we exhale, it should sink in. So the correct way of breathing and how fast we breathe. So if you are not resting or breathing correct, it might lead to different ailments. And another way breath also shows, is there any energy high or low, deficiency or, you know, hyper energy in the system much before it appears in the form of disease. So breath work is very important. And it is also a bridge between the body and the mind. Mm. So you can control your mind by just focusing on the breath. Mm. Yeah. That's a very important breathing. That's how in yoga, the different types of yoga, pranayama is one higher level than the postures that we are doing, the yoga stretching. Mm.
So the breathing is even more important than the postures.
More important, very important.
And then once you're doing the breathing, then you get the concentration. And once you get your concentration right, then you can...
Controlling the mind is a little bit more important. In yoga, they do the recitation. They have the Sanskrit terms or any term by repetition, by chanting and meditation. Meditation for mind and chanting for the mind as well through breathing. So it happens together. Yeah. We cannot separate only breathing. It does work, but may not be fully. So there are other techniques, meditation techniques and the chanting, where they have done research. It actually activates the parts of the brain, which is responsible for your, you know, cognition and memory, these kind of things.
So when you get the note that resonates within each chamber?
Yes. Yeah. Even with the meditation, they have seen the GABA activities in the brain.
Very interesting. I've recently went on the new craze with breathing is the Wim Hof technique, and I went and done that. And they've, like you said, the exhale and the inhale, holding on the exhalation. So you
similar.
Yeah,
the
yoga's been way ahead in this aspect.
Yes, these things are very ancient. Yeah. Like Ayurveda, the, you know, form of medicine. Yoga and Ayurveda, they say it goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm.
So we've heard that yoga is multifaceted. You know, there's the physical, the mental, and the emotional that you've talked about, you know, with the happiness and the mindfulness and so on. What are the other, you know, the other three sort of areas? Are you able to just expand on and elaborate those different components to yoga?
Yes. Normally the body we know of, we see and we take care is the physical body. And the physical body is further, we can say, is into three types. One is the gross part. In Sanskrit, we can say it's sthula sarira. And next one is subtle body or sukshma sarira. And the other one is karana body or the blissful or the happiness body or happiness, seat of happiness. We need to nurture all three, not only physical body. So there are different principles of yoga that takes care of our physical body. For example, we do yoga postures. How yoga postures work?
Yep. So these are the different movements and poses and well,
poses,
not poses, but yeah but you know, a little how you put your body into different positions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So yoga postures are you can say there are three types of yoga they do. One is culture, like the flexibility part, and then relaxation, and then meditative. So in yoga posture, there are three different other types. One is culturing the body, another is relaxing the body, another is giving that meditative effect. Now, when we talk about culture, what exactly it does? It stimulates the body and then relaxes. It's same like the nerve fibers. One is gear, another is brake. One accelerates and another one is relaxing in nature. So Stimulating relaxation and relaxation. This is one nature that yoga postures does to the body, to the physical body. And the next one is, it gives that circulation. It promotes the circulation, the blood circulation throughout the body for the nourishment. And it also talks about the proper diet. So without diet, posture is kind of has no value. So diet and posture for stimulating. So after the sthula body, then we talk about the subtle body. So how do we take care of the subtle body? By breathing right. So there are different techniques of breathing called pranayama. First one is alternate nostril breathing, which is a commonly practiced yogic breathing technique, where, for example, we inhale through our left nostril and then we exhale through right. And then we inhale through right and exhale through left. So inhaling through left, exhaling through right, and inhaling through right, exhaling through left. This is known as one complete round of Nadi Shuddhi Pranayama.
And what is the goal with that? What is the treatment that's doing?
The purpose, yeah.
What is the purpose to that?
Promoting deep breathing. And then bringing balance to our sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Yep. So for the listeners, Caveman and I were just following along with those instructions. And if we had video, it would have been very entertaining for you.
Absolutely.
But hey, we'll keep to the radio show and we won't interrupt again. If you can carry on, please. But,
then something called Kapalabhati. Kapalabhati is cleansing the sinus area. That is another technique where it is, you can say you are just throwing the air out. It's like active exhalation and passive inhalation. There is another technique called Vastrika Pranayama, which is active inhalation and active exhalation. I can demonstrate here, hopefully. Mm-hmm. It's like...
Right.
So,
very good.
So kind of like what we would call hyperventilation.
Hyperventilation.
Yeah.
And which one is that?
That is called Bhastrika Pranayama.
Okay.
And earlier we talked about the retention of breath. Because of the partial pressure of carbon dioxide, the Kevala Kumbhaka, the automatic retention of breath happens. And this breathing technique where we hyperventilate is the burning example. So if you do for 30 seconds or a minute, continuously breathe in and out, you will find up for like 2 to 3 seconds, you find that you are not breathing. There is no need of oxygenation process for a while.
Is that why, you know, there's a connection with, you know, different sorts of exercising that we do? You know, sometimes people are doing aerobic exercises, you know, and so that's a different sort of breathing pattern. And then anaerobics are different again. You know, I notice when I go, you know, for a run or a bike ride, my breathing is changing, you know, like it's if I'm doing something quite, you know, not so strenuous. But when I do something strenuous, then I'm having to really work a bit harder.
Yes. You know? So here there are these breathing techniques are proven for the sports people.
Mm.
And it actually improves their performance
without
having more wear and tear effect to their lungs when they are doing this, you know, high-end performance, like athletic performances. So breathing, being mindful.
Mindful,
that time, instead of allowing your lungs, you know, like gasping, you can control to breathe deeper.
Deeper, yeah.
And it makes such a difference. Even for like cycling or swimming, running.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see how
it's
that
like
works out now.
It's like applying in our daily life when we do work. Otherwise, like being mindful of the breath. Like stop, check the breath, whether it's fast or not, and regulate a little bit, and then carry on.
I sort of do that sometimes, you know, you get a bit upset at someone that you're having a conversation with.
Yeah.
So you take the big deep breath, you know, and then you get the, that's right.
Yeah, so that deep exhalation is a sense of relaxation. So when we are relaxed or something is, you know, finally done, we do not inhale. We are like, exhale, you know?
Yeah.
The next pranayama we can talk about called Bhramari Pranayama. So it is very important now. So lot of yoga experts, the ancient yoga rishis, they are now emphasizing on Bhramari Pranayama and Ujjayi Pranayama. So these are very important two practices for our immunity and to keep our lungs capacity, improve our lungs capacity. Mm-hmm. So we will first talk about, there is something called Ujjayi breathing. Ujjayi breathing is a commonly known, yoga breathing to the modern Western yoga. They do something called Ashtanga flow or power flow, and they do this breathing. So called Ujjayi breathing, where we make a sound like an ocean or hissing snake through our throat. So it's something like... So you are actually testing your breath, channelizing your inhalation and exhalation through your throat. That one and...
Caveman, you shouldn't have been doing that exercise.
I did it too.
Got a little, created a little tickle in the back of the throat there.
You have to sort of start slowly, like not hard.
I thought I heard a whole lot of snakes going on there.
You don't know what is a snake. I'm talking about a snake in New Zealand. That's funny.
Sorry to interrupt. Carry on.
Then we have something called Bhramari Pranayama. Bhramari is a humming bee. It's she humming bee. So if we combine the letter N and we try to read like that's the continued sound of Bhramari. So we can do it together here. So we take a deep breath. And while exhaling, we make this sound.
Well, we recorded this. This is going to be worth something.
Yeah. Sure. Shall we do two more times?
So that
people
times.
Say. Yeah. So who can do longer Bhramari? He's the winner.
That was Cuz.
That was Cuz. And by the way, if you're not playing along at home, we're disappointed in you. So you got one more breath to play at home.
And if you're driving, that doesn't matter. People won't look at you funny.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so as the name goes, Bhramari, multiple research studies has shown that Bhramari promotes not only our lungs capacity, but as well regular practice and continued practice improves the memory in elderly people.
So, good for memory.
Good for memory.
So tell me, so that exercise we just did was good for memory?
Yeah.
Excellent.
So okay. That, as we said, it is, they put that electrodes and seen the brain activities and those who are regular practices. And during Bhramari also, it activates the part of the brain which is responsible for your cognition functions and the memory.
So that could be for people that might have the onsets of dementia and things like that?
Yes, that's where the research application is in this dementia and...
or even people like me that are getting a bit later in years.
Later in their years.
You're not too far along there, cuz you got plenty of years.
Yeah. So because how young is our brain, that's how we are young. And those who do yoga, they tends to live younger and healthier for a long time.
Now, you mentioned about earlier that the different posture, well, having postures, yoga, the postures and the poses and so on, doesn't really amount to anything if you don't have the right diet.
No.
So you said diet was more
diet
important.
Diet is like exercise everywhere you go to build body or your personal trainer. Everyone focus on diet, yoga and Ayurveda. The first principle is eating fresh and eating seasonal food. So that means no to frozen food. So eating fresh and eating right. So we have a ratio how much to eat. So always our stomach should be 50% full with the meal, the solid food, and 25% for water, and 25% should be remain empty for passing the air into our digestive system. So that's how it should be.
So do you have recommendations on foods to have and not have? Like you talked about frozen versus fresh.
Fresh.
Packaged and other such things as well.
So I was searching like because, you know, it should be achievable, affordable to everyone. What actually missing in frozen food, which is we need in our body. So normally it is the antioxidants which is present in the fresh vegetables, which is, you know, lost in the process of freezing
right.
the food.
Right.
So what is antioxidants? So this is the mechanism which helps our body to fight against superoxide. Superoxide is when body, you know, does all the work. So something called oxidative stress. So superoxide and free radicals, these are the byproduct of this oxidative stress. Mm-hmm. And the more antioxidants are present in our body, they help, you know, removing or fighting superoxide and free radicals in the body. And free radicals are another main cause of cancer.
Mm.
Because, you know, free radicals are single goals. They can go with death like anyone because it has a single electron. So it binds with anyone. And because of too much stress and the autoimmune disease, what happens is free radicals plays an important role in that. It binds with cancer cells. And that's how we need to prevent and diet, eating right. And mainly in our digestive system, what happens, our body is slightly alkaline. And it want to remain that alkaline status throughout the, you know, all the time. But when we eat junk food or fast food, which is acidic in nature.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when we eat acidic food?
Impacts on the alkaline.
Yes. Yep. So it leads to many diseases, like it slows down our digestive system, ulcers, those kind of diseases. And we need, so diet is very important. What we eat, that we are.
It'd be interesting to see if there's the research and studies that since we've begun to refrigerate and freeze our food,
mm-hmm.
if there's a connection as to the increase in illnesses.
It's very important to, you know, the focus on the diet part because it is just not about eating. Food should be taken as medicine to stay away from medicine.
Mm.
It's like mindful eating.
Mm-hmm.
Like yoga is doing mindful, the actual application is being mindful outside of your yoga mat in the every aspect of our life, how we act outside of the mat.
Mm-hmm. Like, for example, with that eating a meal at the table with your family or, you know, mindfully with your family, not in front of a television and or on the go.
It's very interesting. I come from a culture where talking while eating is a crime. You will be beaten by your parents or they will roll their eyes on you. But
so that's cultural, right?
That's very cultural. Now, eating has become a social thing. So that is very interesting, and that's how the modern problems, I suppose, because we are not mindful of anything.
Well, we sort of like some cultures will, you know, they'll have meetings and they'll have discussions around food because it's not often that you'll argue when you're eating, you know. So,
yes,
you know.
Oh, that's very interesting. For example, all the conflicts when we are talking about, you know, mindfulness. So it is the conflict. The modern life is struggle in our with our own mind. So what we are looking for ultimately through yoga, we are looking for happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Because when we are born happy. So throughout our life, we are looking for this happiness, right? Mm-hmm. So we are looking for happiness, like through sometimes we end up with addiction, you know, taking too much alcohol and then buying stuff which don't even we need, like, you know, being materialistic or goal-oriented, achieving to be happy. And sometimes the socialization process that we know we are talking and eating, that is also another part of being happy, finding that happiness within. But we need to understand happiness is not outside. That's what yoga talks about. Happiness is within.
Mm.
And finding the peace, finding the happiness is within so that you become that embodiment. And because we are deep within, we are born out of pleasure, happiness, right? So we stayed happy and we look for happiness.
Absolutely.
That's interesting.
So we've got a paper in front of us which talks about the effects of yoga, you know, on stress, anxiety, and depression. And no doubt you teach people that do have this challenge. You know, people come to you that may be suffering from some of these as well. So how does yoga, you know, specifically help with these challenges? And what are the root causes of some of these stresses that you're finding?
In the modern life, though, I can say root cause of stress is our inability or the speed of mind or the inability to achieve the goals in a particular given time. We are like overloaded. Sometimes we work, anything too much causes stress. So the stress which is we see outside is actually manifesting inside. It manifests in the pituitary gland itself. So we have this gland in our body which are responsible for secretion of the hormones. So in the pituitary gland, what it does when under stress, it cannot regulate the functions of other glands. So there is a hypo or hyper secretions of the hormones, for example, thyroid. So if thyroid gland secretes less hormone, we get a disease called hypothyroidism. So how much exercise we do, we can never reduce weight. It becomes very hard to reduce weight under hypothyroidism condition. And similarly, more secretion of your thyroid hormone is called hyperthyroidism. Here, people cannot, gain weight, which in a way is good, but it is a condition, right? Mm-hmm. And it is true for all the, especially in women. We have so many diseases like PCOD and PMS problems, which they say every 1 in 3 women have these problems, PMS problems. Mm-hmm. So the root cause is the stressful life and ambitious, beyond the, how do I put it? I do not have English word this one. So we... being unrealistic.
Unrealistic expectations.
Unrealistic expectations, we can, say one cause. And then to be perfect. And there are other aspects like, social and economic aspect into it. But stress is the root cause of 90% of diseases. So that's how almost all the diseases are known as psychosomatic. So it germinates in the mind and then it goes to your organ, failures the system or affects the system, and then we ended off with the disease. But the thing is that with modern medication, the alternate medicines that we are relied on, it can only check the symptoms. If you have cold, it will give tablet. But yoga or Ayurveda, it asks why you had that cold. So then it goes to the root cause. The conditions, the question is stress. And stress is like very individualistic. It's a common phenomena. It's not only human being that, face stress or feel stress. It's common to every animal kingdom. Mm-hmm. So in the stress condition, what happens, it is very essential to perform any job, for example, exam. You need a certain amount of stress to perform, but it should come down. It should restore after the work is, performed. But here we forget to restore, because by the time you finish one, we have 20 more piling up. So the stress level goes. So it reaches to a point of called sympathetic arousal. When we do yoga, we do pranayama, it is parasympathetic in nature. So it brings balance to the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. So it brings back, restore the homeostasis of our body.
So just thinking about, someone that may be getting inspired, to give yoga a try, where do you suggest someone who this is totally new to starts off?
It is always recommended to learn yoga under the you know, direct guidance of yoga teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga postures are specially designed postures. It's not mere yoga. So if they have a teacher nearby any yoga center, they should go. And if they do not have anyone, there are then YouTube. There are like thousands of videos, free yoga. And you should always start what you can, listening to body and respecting the body. We should not push our body.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga is a gradual process. We learn one posture through breathing to understanding how to learn, let go, and that, you know, losing ourselves,
mm-hmm.
letting go. So
just thinking along the lines as a metaphor for that, we have our first grandchild in the home now. And so we know one day he's going to walk. But at the moment, he's got to strengthen his neck, you know,
exactly.
So he has a bit of tummy time.
Well, beautiful example.
You know,
yeah.
Strengthens his neck so he can look up a bit further. Soon he'll be able to roll around a wee bit. Then he'll start to crawl and then he'll walk. So yoga, approaching yoga along those sort of lines would be the way. So,
yes.
You know, he won't go beyond he's capable. The body will tell him, hey, you know,
yeah.
There's not time for you to take that step yet.
Normally, a lot of people do not think yoga has adverse effects. I think this is a perfect opportunity. Yoga also has the contraindications. It's not everyone can do all the postures.
Mm-hmm.
That is the importance of a knowledgeable, you know, person who knows what not to give. For example, if you have hypertension, we ask not to touch the toes forcefully.
Mm.
So okay. What happens? Your blood is like a blood rush.
Mm.
Which we do not want.
Mm.
So, yeah, having a safe practice, and sometimes there are yoga-induced injuries. There are yoga-induced injuries a lot, which goes unnoticed. So that's how you should respect your body and always start slowly, because there is no competition. And a lot of people, they do not come out to do practice yoga or try yoga because they think, we are not flexible. This is a common thing. Oh, I can't do yoga because I'm not flexible. I said, yoga, that's why yoga is. You need to come and try yoga to be flexible. You do not have to be flexible to try yoga.
Mm.
And then it's woman-oriented. If you say, like, men do not do yoga, a lot of men do not do yoga. They have this notion, yoga is for women. No, it is for everyone. So I come from India. If you go to any yoga institute, you will see 90% men and 10% women. Mm. So, yes.
Really? That's interesting.
Do you have thoughts on the different types of yogas that we see in our communities? There's the ones under extreme heat, I think it might be.
This is called hot yoga. So, hot yoga is not a traditional yoga.
Okay.
So, there the principle of hot yoga is, you need to, you know, bring that heat in the body. For example, you need to give a shape to iron. So what we do? We heat it. Then we can make a weapon or, mm-hmm. you know, give a shape. So the principle of hot yoga is like to make your body, you know, like hot or heat your body up so that you can finally get into the, you know, flexibility level. It does help.
Mm-hmm.
When you are sweating, you are doing that little bit more flexibility you feel. But traditionally, this is not recommended.
Mm-hmm.
We should always practice yoga with your body temperature, mm-hmm. with the room temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And it should not be working like, you know, under extreme conditions.
Yeah.
Let's say hot yoga is not recommended. I would not recommend.
Okay. Well, hey, look, it's been a really interesting show today. I've learned so much more around yoga and particularly the, you know, the causes of the stress, but how yoga can actually help to overcome that. And I was just wondering, you know, if you can share, how could people, you know, get in touch with you and maybe those that are close to you, because you have your own facility, studio.
Yes, I do have my yoga studio in Rangiora. It's known as Rangiora Yoga. We do have a Facebook page, Rangiora Yoga under Rangiora Yoga.
Yeah.
And the website also rangiorayoga.co.nz. And
And so you run multiple classes for different, for someone
yes,
like me?
Yes, I do run like 30 sessions a week.
Wow.
And
did you say 30?
Yeah, I teach 30 hours a week, and wow. This is my full-time job. And every time I give a session, I feel more energetic.
Yes.
So, that is how the difference between exercising and yoga exercising.
Okay. Mm.
It's not losing, it's gaining. You feel more energetic after every session.
Excellent.
Mm. Awesome. Any other closing comments you have, Caveman?
It was great to have you on the show, Padma. Thank you for coming and sharing with us and letting us drink in a little bit of your knowledge.
It is always mutual, knowledge is power. Yeah. And I learned a lot from you.
Well, I think applying that knowledge is what I'm taking from today. I'm going to look at being more open to maybe give this yoga a try.
Yes, I really, listeners of this radio station, I really want you to try yoga. Yoga is not for women. Yoga is for every human being.
Awesome.
Excellent.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
All the best.
Thank you.
I am not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, because we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say, no one will love you as you are. But I won't let them break me down to dust. I know that there's a place for us, for we are glorious. When the sharpest words wanna cut me down, I'm gonna send a flood, gonna drown them out. I am brave, I am bruised, I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. Look out, 'cause here I come. And I'm marching on to the beat I drum. I'm not scared to be seen. I make no apologies. This is me.
You can find our podcast on Facebook at Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman, on the Plains FM website and iTunes, and you can get the live stream from plainsfm.org.nz or the TuneIn app.
On behalf of Carl Waratini, I'm Dr. Carl Bamlett, chiropractor at the Alpha Omega Clinic, reminding you that you can't change from within, on the outside looking in.
Thank you for listening to Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman. For more healthy lifestyle tips, find Dr. Carl on drcarlbamlett.com and like him on Facebook. I'm Pascal Batrick, signing off for Dr. Carl Bamlett, the Modern Caveman.